From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crummery. Thank you for tuning in. A Juneau family reported a 29-year-old man missing on Friday. He was last seen on May 26th near Safeway. Juneau police posted on Facebook Monday morning that they're searching for Dion McCabe. Police describe McCabe as 6 feet tall with brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen in jeans, a white t-shirt, and, quote, UGG slipper-style shoes, according to JPD's press release. Juneau Police Deputy Chief Craig Campbell said police have been speaking with the family in order to determine when to file McCabe as a missing person.
Which is why we posted the missing persons release on him, maybe see if anybody last saw him or maybe he's out and about and we can get him to contact his family.
Campbell said police don't have further information about his general habits, workplace, or residence. If anyone has any information about McCabe, they can contact the Juneau Police Department at 907-586-0600. Anonymous tips may also be submitted through the Juneau Crime Line. And the Juneau School Board will decide on whether to adopt the school district's new strategic plan tomorrow night at its last regular meeting of the fiscal year. The strategic plan is a document that lines out the district's values and priorities for the next 5 years. The school board approved a contract with the national consulting group HYA Associates last year to draft the plan. Over the more than 1 year process, consultants received feedback from board members, staff, families, and community members. The draft includes values like student focus, community partnership, and equity and belonging. It lists 6 priorities as well, including student well-being, academic success, fiscal and operational integrity. The board will also decide whether to approve updated enrollment projections for 3 of its optional programs: the Juneau Community Charter School, Montessori Borealis, and the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program. All 3 programs are expected to have more students than originally projected. The full school board agenda is available on the district's website. This is the last meeting with Frank Hauser as the district supervisor. It will take place tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Thunder Mountain Middle School Library and on Zoom. Tickets at Eagle Crest Ski Area are about to get more expensive. That's after prices have held fairly steady for the past few years. Eagle Crest Ski Area's board approved price increases for season and day passes, among other fees, at Juneau's city-owned ski mountain last week. For next season, ticket prices for season pass holders will increase by roughly 10%. Early bird tickets for the season will increase from $630 last season to $690. Regular tickets will increase from $802 to $900. Adult day passes will increase from $75 to $85. Season and day passes for seniors and children and cross-country ski trail use fees will also see a roughly 10% price hike. The board also voted to implement a 3% fee for credit card transactions at the mountain beginning in July. At the meeting, Eagle Crest Ski Area's board chair, Brandon Cullum, says voting to increase prices at the mountain is a decision the board doesn't take lightly.
We understand that any increase can be painful, but given the times that we're in, we don't have a lot of options.
The ticket price hike comes as Eagle Crest faces an extremely uncertain future. Last month, the Juneau Assembly voted to divest from Eagle Crest Ski Area's gondola project. It will also pay back a $10 million investment from Gold Belt Incorporated. The gondola was supposed to help the financially struggling ski area become self-sustaining. Now that the project is off the table, the fate of Eagle Crest's future is in limbo. To buy some time, the Assembly reluctantly voted last month to subsidize the ski area so it can stay open next season on a bare-bones budget, with a cut to nearly half the staff. What will come after that is still up in the air. And the U.S. Forest Service is now saying mining interests played an important role in its decision to cancel a recreational cabin project near Juneau's Herbert Glacier, after denying that months ago. The public use cabin was a popular idea among locals and would have been part of the Alaska Cabins Project, the Forest Service's biggest public use cabin expansion plan in 50 years. It would have been built on top of a mining claim, across the river from the proposed New Amalga gold mine owned by Grand Portage Resources Limited. The Forest Service approved exploratory drilling at New Amalga last month. The agency originally said it was scrapping the plan because it's a complex location to build a cabin and staff capacity is limited. Mining, a spokesperson said, was unrelated. But in its final decision published at the end of May, the Forest Service said, quote, cabin construction would not be prudent at this time due to heightened interest in mining claims in the area and potential for creating conflicting uses, end quote. The decision noted that infrastructure built by the agency must not interfere with safe and reasonable access to mining claims under the general mining law. Laura Buckeyeat is the deputy district ranger for Juneau for the Tongass National Forest. She says the agency's apparent flip-flopping was a result of a misunderstanding between staff.
That was a miscommunication between myself and the communications team that led to the incorrect statements being made after the release of the draft decision.
The Forest Service received 20 public comments about the decision to cancel the cabin. most were opposed, like Carl Aschenbrenner's. He wrote, quote, "The idea to not have a Herbert Glacier cabin in order to appease a foreign mining company is abhorrent," end quote. In its decision, the Forest Service leaves open the door to approving a cabin at that site in the future, without going through another lengthy environmental review process. Buckeye says although mining exploration isn't compatible with building a cabin at the site right now, that could change in the future.
It could be that the cabin is authorized at a later time when conditions change again.
The Forest Service plans to move forward with a reroute of the Herbert Glacier Trail around mile 4.4 to bypass an eroding section and go over a stone outcrop with a scenic overlook of the Herbert Glacier. And the school year is over in Juneau, but some students are still hard at work. During celebration last week, the Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program unveiled a Tlingit comic book that brings popular graphic novel characters to Juneau. As KTOL's Jamie Deep reports, the Tlingit language comic book teaches students how to be storytellers.
There you go.
Students, parents, and community members line up behind a table filled with stacks of glossy, pastel-colored comic books. Next to the table, professional graphic novel artist Demi Maharis signs the inside cover. He's soon joined by student artists, including Laura Neese, a rising fourth grader at Juneau's Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy Program, or TCLL. She says it's fun to sign books, even if she gets a little scared.
Sometimes you don't know that person, but it's really fun to do it for someone.
She's glad to share the comic with other people.
It feels great because if everybody gets to read it, it makes me happy.
Na Kidach Hachun Hian, which means all of our friends from the north in Tlingit, is a comic book created by students, teachers, elders, and an alumnus of the school. It features characters from Chickalunis, a graphic novel series following two Alaska Native friends as they become storytellers. In the comic, the characters go to Juneau and explore the Menonhaw Glacier, downtown, and Harborview Elementary School. Along the way, they meet characters created by Juneau's TCLL students. Some of those characters include Jimmy the Raven and Chad the Chickadee. Incoming 7th grader Jolie Elisoff says their names come from a couple of her nicknames.
For Halloween, I'm Chad every year because it's like a thing now. And I suggested Chad and the whole class just kept on saying Chad, so... And then someone said Jimmy and then we just stuck with Jimmy.
Jolie says the names were her favorite part of the comic project. It also taught her a lot, too.
I learned that you can make like almost anything with your ideas.
Real images of the city are embedded in the book with thick black outlines highlighting characters and landmarks. In between panels are pages highlighting different elders who worked on the comic book. Maharis is the co-creator of Chickalunis and worked with students on the project. He says they work with schools across the state to create characters, but they were able to do more this time.
We were able to take the characters we made with the students and kind of tie them together into a narrative together where the students themselves become characters. It's a very meta, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of book, and I'm really proud of it.
Maharis says he and his fellow Chickalunis co-creator did about half of the artwork in the comic. A TCLL alum did the other half and brought the students' characters to life. Maharis, who is Athabaskan, says it was a great way to bring his culture to Juneau and show how different cultures can come together through storytelling.
Kids are just inherently amazing storytellers. And it's kind of like we've found this lane where our job is to kind of bring their ideas to life and just show them and reaffirm to them that their ideas, their creativity is, is special and that they are truly storytellers and that they should follow a path of sharing their stories.
Nay Tamiluk is a language teacher at the school and translated the comic into Tlingit. She says there were moments where she would lean on elders and her colleagues to help figure out how to translate things in a comic book.
My kids love comics, and so they're well-versed in it. I bet maybe they could have translated it a lot faster than I did, but it was just, I guess, a first for me to even think about how to write a comic.
Tamiluk says it's important for students to have these opportunities.
They work so hard learning our language and our culture, and when they get to laugh and have fun and have a product at the end that reflects them, I think that is a really important thing for our kids to see themselves in the books that they like to read.
Students at the event got free copies of the comic, and they will be used in the classroom in future school years. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And a sale on oil and gas drilling rights in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, garnered nearly $4 million in winning bids. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports.
Anwar is the nation's largest wildlife refuge and a habitat for migratory birds and polar bears. State officials say its coastal plain has the potential for billions of barrels of sellable oil. Alaska BLM Director Kevin Pendergast says the effort to open the region to development stretches back 50 years.
It has remained a frontier area. Now, we are beginning the chapter where we shift from policy to action.
Of the 58 tracts of land up for bid, there were 9 bids on 5 tracts, totaling more than 70,000 acres. The state of Alaska will get about half of the more than $3.7 million the sale made. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, a state investment agency also known as ADA, won 3 of the tracts. Hex Energy LLC, an Alaska-based oil and gas company, won the other 2. Longtime Alaska oil and gas industry observer Larry Pursley says there was a lack of interest from major oil companies that operate on the North Slope.
The players who would have the billions of dollars to explore, develop, produce are not bidding. They're not at the table. They have no appetite for it.
The Anwar bidding was dwarfed by an earlier oil and gas lease sale this year in the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska to the west of the refuge. That sale brought in nearly $164 million from big producers like ConocoPhillips and Repsol. Despite the Trump administration's fervor for drilling in Anwar, Pursley says he thinks there's a major factor leading to a low turnout among major players. The next administration might be less inclined to allow for development in the refuge.
How much of your business, how much of your company, how much of your investment, how much of your goodwill do you want to risk that the next White House, the next presidential administration will let you keep your leases, let you get exploration permits, that you will win all the litigation that's going to come up.
The first sale in the Anwar region was held in January 2021, though the sole company that bid on a lease ended up giving up the tract a year later. A second lease sale held in 2025 drew 0 bids. Under the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill Act, Congress directed the federal government to hold 3 more Anwar lease sales by 2035. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
This is KTOO.